beat you up here, Pastor Gary.
All right, Speedy.
First time you said that.
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning. And we appreciate all of you not sitting in our reserve section right up here.
But these are delightful pews.
They're delightful
pews. They are delightful pews, yes.
All right. So anyway, for some reason, everybody just chose not to sit here. Anyway, welcome to our worship. Welcome to those of you who are viewing us online. I am under awareness that there's something going on with Facebook this morning, so it's not going out live. They are recording it so that as soon as service is over, then we'll be able to post it up. But we're not being able to go live today. So
if anybody texts you asking why it's not up, let them know we're having some technical difficulties.
Yeah, so we don't know why, but that's the case. So anyway, a couple of announcements for you from me. One is we learned yesterday morning that one of our families, the Sorrell family, had a house fire on Friday. I have been in touch with them this morning, in fact, and the kitchen is completely gone, they said. And so she said any kind of kitchen supplies, totes, blankets, and water would be very helpful. So if you'd like to provide any of those, just bring them here. We'll get them to them. That's kitchen supplies, totes, blankets, and water. Any cleaning and all that kind of stuff is what I hear. They have no electricity or water in the house right now. And I'm not sure about the condition of any of the other parts of the house, but that's what's going on for right now.
I hear they're staying in their camper outside, so the house, they aren't able to stay in the house.
Okay. And then the second announcement is that today is Vicar Amanda's last Sunday as our vicar.
I did hear that.
Like somebody ran over a cat.
It's like they practiced it. No, no cats are getting run over in this. No animals are being harmed in the last day of this vicarship.
So anyway, we wanted to express our appreciation and our thanks for your work among us this year and with us. And we pray all the best for you, particularly on your trip to Ethiopia. This starts Wednesday.
Wednesday. You're taking us to the airport on Wednesday.
If I think about it.
Everybody remind him, 10:30 on Wednesday. He needs the church bus at my house.
So anyway, all right. We did want to say thank you.
Thank you.
And what a wonderful job you've done, and we anticipate you coming back eventually in your old job.
That's the plan. I hope that's still the plan. And I want to express so much gratitude to all of you and those that are watching eventually online. Thank you all for a wonderful, wonderful year. I could not have asked for a better place to serve my internship here or better people to serve it with. Thank you very, very much. And I am so excited to come back in youth and family and outreach. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I heard you had a great supervisor, too.
I did. I had, like, the best supervisor. He hasn't finished my evaluation yet. So, I do have a couple of announcements to make for all of the youth ministries. Those are going to be on hold for just a little bit until I come back from Ethiopia, and then we'll get all of the youth ministry up and going again. We are planning for the Sunday after Labor Day to start up Children's Sunday School for all ages, little bitty through however old they want to come hang out with us. So be looking for ministry opportunities for children and youth in mid-August. There'll be some emails and Facebook messages and all sorts of things going out about that. Also, we do have a bucket out in the narthex, the lobby area, for school supplies. It's time for the annual school supply drive. Those school supplies will be divided amongst sharing God's love and staying within the community here, serving the people that need those here, but also a good portion of them will go to Williamsburg County to support those kiddos that we love so much over there as well. And I think those are all my announcements.
Okay.
All righty.
Let's prepare for our worship. Please rise with our confession and forgiveness. Bless. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord to be with you. Let us pray. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd invite all the children to come forward. Good morning. I am so glad you all sat on this side, because I was thinking this week, oh, by the way, you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to welcome all our online friends. Hey, everybody online. Yay. Well, not right now, but they will in a little bit. Oh, yeah. So they'll see us, and then they'll say, look, there's Artie. And there's Jordan, and there's Riley. Yes. Okay, but I'm glad you're on this side, because what I was thinking this week, I got my Bible, and I was thinking, I wanted to see who God thinks is really special. And so I read my Bible, and I made some notes on this page right here as to who God, who is really special. And what I'm going to do is divide y'all into two groups, okay? Everybody, we're going to do it the easy way. Everybody who is really special to God, I'm going to put on this side. And everybody who's not special to God, I'm going to ask you to move over on this side, okay? All right, so I looked through my Bible all week, and I'm going to start with Artie, okay? All right, let's see if you're special to God. Let me look at my notes. You are. You get to stay right here. Yay. All right, Jordan, let's see. Let's see if you're special to God. I'm going to check my notes, okay? Yes, and you get to stay right here too. Yay. What about Riley? Do you think you're special to God too? She might be. Let me check my notes. Yes, Riley, you're special to God too. Yes. Yes, you did tell me. In fact, when I read the whole Bible, this is the notes I wrote. It says, Jesus loves all children and all other people. So do you know what that means? That means all the people sitting over here need to move over there. Because they're special too, and they're special. Everybody's special. If they're not special, they move over here. But you know what? God thinks everybody's special, so everybody should be over here. Isn't that great news today? Yes, God loves you, and he loves everybody in here, and all people all over the world. In fact, we get everybody in the whole world on that side of the building. The whole building would tilt over on that side, don't you think? Oh, you were pretending it was a doctor bag. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, what we want to remember today is that everybody is special when God thinks about you. God thinks Artie's special, and Jordan's special, and Riley's special, and all the children out there, they're special too, aren't they? Yeah, and so that's what we're remembering today, is that God loves all of us and thinks each of us is special. Can we have our prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. And thank you for making us your special people. Help us to remember always that we belong to you. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Amos. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile, away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
King Herod heard of the disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet, for about it they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. His courtiers and officers, and for the leaders of Galilee, when his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, and yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought the head on a platter, and gave it to a girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples had heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my very favorite books growing up was C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's a story about four children who enter the land of Narnia. And the land of Narnia is occupied by the power of the White Witch and is in what seems like eternal winter. For all the creatures there, it seems like their stories will end with the landscape still frozen solid and their land still under the control of the White Witch. But it's not the end of the story. The four children work alongside the great lion Aslan to weaken the White Witch's power. Narnia begins to thaw. Ultimately, the White Witch is defeated in a great battle. But there are many points in this story at which it seems like the end. It seems like the children could not continue. It seems like all is lost. It seems like nothing will ever change, and all will remain under oppression and fear. In this book, when it seems like everything is at its darkest point, like nothing can turn around, it's in those moments that we are reminded it's not the end of the story. There's paradox. It seems like it has to be the end. There is no way the story continue, but it is not the end of the story. Today, we have a very unsettling story for our gospel reading. It's a birthday party. But instead of balloons and cake, we hear about a gruesome death. It seems like it is the end. King Herod was hearing about this radical rabbi named Jesus. And for Herod, this brought up his experiences with another rather unorthodox teacher, John the Baptist. It was at Herod's birthday party, where the festivities quickly became the occasion for beheading John. Besides a birthday party becoming a beheading, there are multiple paradoxes that jump from this gospel reading. Herod himself embodies paradox. In verse 20, we read, "When Herod heard John, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him." So Herod was confused, but he liked it. The words of John both struck fear and curiosity for the king. We can also see the paradox of how the lives of these two men were intertwined. John knows his vocation as the messenger sent to make the paths straight for the Messiah. John lives out this calling with courage until the very end of his life. Yet Herod is conflicted. He allows the pressure of others to steer him in different directions alongside all of these contradictory feelings that are already swarming within him. Herod sways with the desires and the greed and the power. But it's not the end of the story. And while there are differences that we can address, there are similarities that we just can't ignore. There's a darkness that is foreshadowed here. Herod is the king responsible for ordering the death of John the Baptist. And later in the book of Mark, there's another conflicted ruler, Pontius Pilate, who is responsible for ordering the death of Jesus. There's a dark mirror that's being held up. John dies, and Jesus will die as well. But it's not the end of the story. There's an element of brokenness and darkness that we can't ignore in this passage. This birthday party turned beheading is not the end of the story. As we read this text, it would be wonderful, it would be glorious to read it from a current reality that's completely beyond brokenness and darkness, a place where the forces of greed and power were something of the past. However, we still experience these forces, don't we? Those paradoxes, they live inside of us and our society too. Like Herod, each of us lives with both fear and awe within us, with forces of greed and power right alongside love and hope and faith. These paradoxes show up in our lives and our society in a multitude of ways. There is wonder and awe in God's creation all around us. Rivers and streams, lakes and sunsets, forests and the furry little woodland creatures. Beloved pieces of God's creation. Yet, we don't take care of them the way we should. I know that I very easily reach for those plastic bags and all the disposable straws that are convenient, yet still litter our planet. Accessibility and fear drive us to maintain our way of life instead of addressing issues of pollution and climate change. It's part of the brokenness and darkness of our world, yet that's not the end of the story. We're intrigued and captivated by the babies and children that are in our midst. We scramble to coo at them and see how much they've grown. Yet fear causes us to be wary sometimes of the children and families that don't necessarily match our own. We may be wary of refugees and those seeking safety instead of welcoming them as Scripture instructs us to do. It's part of the brokenness and darkness of our world. Yet, that's not the end of the story. While we do follow Christ, there is a paradox between the life of Christ that he led, that Jesus led, and the lives that we as Christians lead. Similar to the paradox between John and Herod, so there is a paradox between Christ and each of us. We want to follow in Christ's footsteps, and we often do the very best that we can. We want to live as Christ lives. But the truth is, it's hard. And it's hard talking about holding up that mirror of truth. But despite our very best efforts, we get stuck. In fear and anxiety and sin and the death of this world, each of us, I know I get stuck. It's part of the brokenness and darkness of our world. Yet, it's not the end of the story. If we only look at the scripture we have in our reading for today, the outlook is bleak at best. Our reading for today ends with a grieving King Herod, John's head on a platter, and his disciples burying his body. Thankfully, the reading for today began in a very different way. A lens for us to look through, to see this entire story through. In verse 14, it says, King Herod heard of Jesus' teaching and healing, for Jesus' name had become known. Jesus had become known. The living Word of God, the Messiah, Christ, had become known, and even King Herod took notice. John the Baptist had been called to testify to the light of Christ, to point endlessly to Christ, even though the brokenness and darkness in the world took John's life. His message and his ministry prevailed. John's death was not the end of the story. Jesus' ministry continues on. The fear, greed, and power Herod sought was not the final answer to John's message. Yes, John died. Yes, Jesus died. Yet it was not the end of the story. Jesus was raised from the dead to everlasting life. Jesus conquered death once and for all of creation. Brokenness and darkness never have the last word. My favorite book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it doesn't end in the depths of despair and darkness. Those times are not the end of the story. And the same is true for this gruesome birthday party in our scripture for today. It is not the end of the story. It's also true for our world today. The brokenness, darkness, and grief that we see in the world, even though it might weigh on us and be so difficult at times, it is not the end of the story. God brings us life and hope through the death and resurrection of Christ. God is the author of the entire story. And I feel like God is far from being finished. It's not the end of the story.
Thank you.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of grace, you have filled us with your love. Now fill us with your Spirit. Strengthen our faith. Give us the eyes to see you active in our lives with your blessing and love. Then open our hearts to bear one another's burdens, living and giving Christ's word of peace to all your people. Lord, in your mercy. God of new beginnings, as Vicar Amanda's internship draws to a close, we give you thanks for her ministry among us. We praise you for the care she has offered to us, for the leadership in mission and ministry, for the proclamation of your word to us. Bless her and her family as they move forward from this day. Give them safe travels and bring them home that together we may continue to serve and praise you. Lord, in your mercy. God of gentleness, we pray for the sick, the sorrowed, those frightened or alone, asking that you might scatter your grace upon them. Be with any in need, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all the world, loving Savior. While we enjoy such richness, so many live in terrible poverty. While we enjoy lives of ease and comfort, so many struggle simply to survive. Open our hearts and our hands to them. Come into our world that it might change and that we might change for your world. Lord, in your mercy. Living Lord, invite us into a closer walk with you. Turn us from self-destructive ways. Open our hearts to hear your word and lead us from death into life. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray. Trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy are you, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name.
God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Healer, when sin had scarred the world, you sent your Son to heal our ills and to form us again into one. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his acts of healing, his body given up, and his victory over death, we await that day when all the peoples of the earth will come to the river to enjoy the tree of life. Send your Spirit upon us in this meal. As grains scattered on the hillside become one bread, so let your church be gathered to the ends of the earth, that all may be fed with the bread of life, your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your love. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
It's not the end of the story. Go out in peace, serve the Lord.
Because I can't carry those because my hands shake too much.
Girl.